All Children's Church.
No, I prayed about it, and I felt led to do this message today instead, so I won't be doing that one. Maybe I'll hold that over your head so I'll be asked to preach again next, some other time. if you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, and just hold your place there for a few minutes. I'll get to the text in just a few minutes. But 1 John chapter 4, the title of the message today is called The Love Factor. And a good subtitle for it would be The Difference that Love Makes. And I got to be honest with you, I really debated whether to do this message or not. When Dad asked me to preach, this is the message that God immediately brought to my mind. But then as the day grew closer, I started to second guess myself and wonder if I really should. Simply based on, well, the title of it, The Love Factor. There's a big push in our world today for churches to be seeker-sensitive and to preach messages that are appealing to people and that won't turn them away, that won't offend anyone. And so as a result, we hear a lot of sermons on God's love, His mercy, and forgiveness. And they're wonderful, great sermons, but I think that sometimes the gospel kind of gets neglected. And so I didn't want that to be the case in this series. But God really has laid this on my heart, and so I think I'll go ahead with it anyway. Because some of the things that I have to say during this series is tough for me to say, but we all know that sometimes love is a tough love. So I hope you don't mind if I'm a little tough on you as a series. Like I mentioned, this is a series. And so this is just part one because there's no way I could fit it into one message. So maybe next time I preach, I'll continue on in the series. But I have to be honest with you and be humble in telling you that the whole reason that this message came about was about a year ago, I began to feel convicted in my own life as I grew as a Christian, as my walk with God was closer every day. I began to feel convicted that I was not letting God's love shine through me like it should. And I felt that there were certain areas of my life that God's love should be affecting, and it wasn't to the extent that it should have been. And I've grown concerned that this is the case of the church, not necessarily our church, but the church and Christians in general, that we're not allowing God's love to make the difference that it's supposed to be making in our life and through us. As Christians, it should be completely obvious that there is a difference about us, that there is something different, that God is at work in us and through us. And I fear that we've grown cold by letting other affections take priority in our lives. We say that we are loving Christians, but when someone cuts us off on the freeway, we honk the horn, we yell, we shake our fist, we drive in front of them and slam on the brakes. I don't do that. And we get so angry driving just so quickly and so easily. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine just a couple of weeks ago was showing me a video that he'd taken on his iPhone of some road rage. These two vehicles had gotten into such road rage, they pulled over into a parking lot, and these guys got out of their car, and they came at each other like this. And some other people saw what was going on, and they ran and stopped them before they could actually get into a fight. They were ready to get in a fight over some road rage. And I thought, how horrible would it be to look at one of those cars and to see a Jesus sticker on the back or something like that. We say that we are loving Christians at church. We come here and we're all, oh, I love you, and we're all lovey-dovey. But then when we go home, we fight, we yell, we say horrible things to the people that are closest to us. And I wonder what happened to the love. Where is the love? My point is that we say that we are loving Christians, but I think that we fail to show it to the world. And I'd like to read 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. These verses are really the framework to this whole series. Everything that is about to be said can be based on these verses. 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And when the Bible says something, it's important. God is speaking to us. When the Bible repeats something, it's very important. When it repeats something in the very next verse, you better sit up and take notice. And John here not only repeats it, but this time he repeats it in the negative form. He wants to make sure that there is no way that we misunderstand what he's saying, that we see clearly what he's trying to say. He that loves not does not know God, for God is love. If God is truly living in our hearts and in our lives, then that love must be a factor. It must be making a difference in our lives. And if it's not, then maybe we need to search our hearts deeper and to see if we know God truly like we say that we do. And that searching has led me to write this. I wrote this as a series for youth group, and it's grown into this series. It's important for us to get to know God on a deeper level, so our relationship with God can grow, so we can understand his love on a deeper level, and so that it can make a difference in our life. And really, so that people can recognize us as Christians. That's how Jesus said people would recognize us to be his followers. They will know you are my followers by your love. Because our love is supposed to be completely different. It's supposed to be changing. It's supposed to be making a difference. And I think that it's getting harder and harder for people to recognize who the Christians really are because we're not loving like we're supposed to. It's ironic because our culture is obsessed with love. We really are. You could say that we are love addicts. We're addicted to love. The entertainment industry focuses probably the majority of its attention on the subject of love. Take movies, for example. It's pretty hard to watch a movie today and not have some kind of a love scene or love story in it. It seems like no matter what category of movie you watch, you end up watching a romance movie. Now, you could get an action-packed thriller with bullets flying, bombs exploding, exciting car chases, and almost for certain, somewhere in the storyline, there's going to be a guy and a girl that fall in love. It could be a Western movie. I'm going to pick on Western movies. If that offends you, plug your ears. They're all the same. Every single Western movie is the same. Here's the plot. The good guy and the bad guy, they like the same girl. They get in a shootout, and the good guy wins. He proves that he's the fastest gun in the West. Therefore, he wins the girl's heart. It's a good thing he won. You know, even children's movies feature romance in them, even animated movies. I won't say the name of the movie for the sake of your parents, but you could be watching an animated movie about some animals living at a zoo in, say, New York. Oh, come on, you know what it is. And you notice that halfway through that movie, the boy giraffe tells his friends that he is in love with the female hippo. And I'm still not sure where the writers were planning on going with this, because what if they got married and had babies? What would they be called, giraffos? But even in children's movies, they have romance. How about music? How many songs talk about love? You would never be able to count them. All the songs that have love in the title or in the lyrics. Again, no matter what genre of music you listen to, it probably contains lyrics about love. Everybody's singing about love. Rock songs, country songs, rap songs, even Christian songs. We sang a lot of songs about love this morning. They're mostly songs about love. How about tabloids? They make their living on so-called love stories. Right now, they really adore Taylor Swift because they have a new romance to write about every week. Everybody wants love, and everybody wants to receive love. Everybody wants to fall in love. And this shows that love is a major part of every person's life. It is important to everyone. And that's why there's so many. That's why love stories are such a big hit in Hollywood, why there's so many movies that contain romance and so many books, so many songs talk about love, because it's a big part of our life. Now, we have to distinguish the difference between the world's concept of love and God's concept of love, because they're two completely different things. And I don't want to spend a lot of time defining the difference between worldly love and godly love, because that's not the point of this. But we do need to acknowledge that the love that we're talking about is a completely different kind of love than the world views. The world's concept of love is actually selfish. If you had to define it, it would really be selfish. Because they say that love is a feeling. It's based on emotions, how you feel about someone, how they make you feel, how you're happy when you're with them. They complete you. But because it's based on feelings, it is very limited. Because we all know that our feelings change. Our emotions aren't always the same. And if we base our love on our emotions, then it's very limited because it can end. We basically love only the people that we want to love, that we feel like loving. And Jesus warned us about this kind of love when he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, "What profit is it to you to love people that love you in return? Because even sinners have a love like that." So obviously Jesus recognized that there was a different kind of love than the love that he was talking about. God's idea of love is completely different. It's almost opposite, because God's love is sacrificial. It's giving to the other person. It's caring about you more than me. It's caring about your needs more than mine. It's caring about your needs and your wishes and your wants above myself and putting other people first. Many times this kind of love is a choice, because sometimes the feelings aren't there, and sometimes it is. But often the feelings are not there, the emotions aren't there, and that's when we have to choose to love. Jesus told us to love our enemies. I don't know about you, but I don't feel like loving them. Probably most of us don't. That's why it's a choice. We have to choose to love. True love loves even when it is most difficult. And that's all I want to say on that, because I don't want to get too far off track. So let's look at the love factor. What difference does God's love make in our life and in the world? Well, the first area that we see God's love being a factor is in the area of creation. I want you to think back, way back, before there were mountains and trees and rivers, before there were oceans and dry land and animals, before there was a sun and moon and stars, possibly before there was even angels. All that was there was just God. Just God, nothing else. And we read in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The next several verses go on to describe God creating all of these awesome things. I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated with creation. It's amazing. God created the sun. How amazing is the sun? This big ball of fire burning thousands of miles away from us gives us our day and night, keeps us warm, and never burns out. It's amazing. The sun is just far enough away from us that it doesn't melt us. And if it was any further from us, we'd all freeze. We have a special designer. God created the moon. How cool is the moon? When I was little, I wanted to be an astronaut and go to the moon. It would be so cool. But here's this planet of dirt that somehow reflects the sun, and it glows at night when we look at it. God created the stars and the oceans. How awesome are the oceans? If you've ever been to the oceans, you've got to go see the oceans and just see the magnificent power as the waves come crashing in on the beach. God created all of this, the dry land, trees, plants, all the amazing animals. Study the ocean life of some of the animals that live in the ocean. It's amazing. God created them specifically for their environment and to live there. And God looks at this awesome creation, and you know what he says? He says, "It is good." I like to think that he says, "Nah, it's okay." good. If I were to have created all that, I'd be pretty proud of myself. But not God, because he wasn't done creating yet. He still had one more creation. As amazing and as awesome as everything was, the sun, the moon, the stars, galaxies, planets, earth, everything that he'd created, God couldn't have a special connection with any of these things. There was no special relationship with it. God wanted to have a special relationship with his creation. And so he came up with a plan. He decided that he was going to create something special. And he decided to create man, humans, and give them a spirit and a soul that would last for eternity so that he could connect with them and communicate with them and build a personal relationship with them. And so that's what God did. He created people. We read in Genesis 1, 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now how amazing is this? I'm blown away every time that I read this, because of all the things that God created, he decided he was going to top it off with one very special creation. And he made this creation so special that he actually designed it after himself, because there was nothing better that he could design it after. And so he patterned it after himself, and he made people. He put his best handiwork into this creation. He created man, and he gave him a spirit so that he could connect with and relate to and have a relationship with this very special creation. And this time, at the end of the day, when God looks at this creation, he says, "It is very good." God was pleased and happy with this final creation. Now we have to wonder why. Why did God create? Why did God create us, mankind? Some people say, well, God needs us. Really? What does God need sinful, selfish, prideful people for? Other people say, well, God needs our worship. And I've been appalled to actually hear people say, well, God needs our worship, otherwise he wouldn't be God. And that's heresy, because God doesn't need our worship. If he wasn't God without people worshiping him, then how did he create us? They need to read the first four verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God. God was God, whether there was people around to worship him or not. He doesn't need our worship. He desires it, yes. He longs for our worship. He wants us to worship him. But he would not stop being God if nobody worshiped him. You know, the Bible describes a scene where God is sitting on his throne and angels fly around his throne. It's the only job they have. They fly around his throne and they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the one who sits on the throne." We sang some songs on that this morning. He is a holy God that is worthy of our worship, and he longs for our worship, but he doesn't need it. So why did God create us? And the only answer that I can come up with is love. God created us because he loves us. He has so much love to offer. He has so much love to give that what else could he do but create something special and share that love with it? And so he created us. Genesis 1:1 could read, "In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth." Because God is love. He is the basic definition of love. And you know what the most amazing thing to me is? In God's awesome plan of creation, there was one major problem. Because God knew that given the opportunity, man would choose not to love God in return. Man would actually choose the side of God's most fiercest enemy. And he would choose to sin and separate himself from God. But this didn't catch God off guard. He knows all things. He knew this would happen even before he created us. So why still create us? Why create a special creation, pour your love into them, just to have them turn on you and hate you in return? And honestly, I don't know. I don't know the answer. The only thing I can say is that's just how deep God's love really goes. Honestly, the more I learn about God's love, the less I understand it. I don't know that we can ever fully comprehend the depth that God's love can go to. How he could create us knowing that we would turn against him and still create us and love us anyway. What love, such wondrous love, that God would love a sinner such as I. So there was this major problem, but God already knew what to do. He thought to himself, if I create man, they will turn against me, they will choose to sin, they will separate themselves from me, but here's what I will do. I will go to earth. I will become a man with flesh and bones. I will live a perfect, sinless life as an example of how one ought to live. And they will refuse me, and they will hate me, and they will send me to my death. And I will suffer, and I will die. But then, I will accept my own sacrifice in their place so that whoever wants can receive forgiveness and spend eternity with me just like I intended it from the very beginning. And that's what he did. It was his plan from the very beginning. Peter tells us this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It was in God's plan for Jesus to die for us before he even started creating. What love to create something like us and to create all of this for us and to put this plan into motion even before the foundation of the world, even Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. As I thought about this, I began to really feel convicted in my own life. Because if God's love drove him to creation, it caused him to create, I started wondering, well, what is God's love creating in me then? Because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's love is obviously a creative love, and so it should cause me to be creative. So what is God creating through me? You know, God wants to connect with other people through me. He wants to love other people through me. He wants to build relationships through me. He wants to bring souls into the kingdom of God through me. And so I thought, what am I doing with this creative love? I'm convinced that everyone is born with a creative love. I like to call it creative love. And I think that when we're younger, we're pretty good at using our creative love. And we find ways to creatively show our love to others. Take children, for example. Children are amazing with creative love. Who does a child love more than anybody in the world? Probably their mom, right? And so they look for ways to show their mom that they love her. Maybe they draw pictures for their mom. How many of you ever drew pictures for your mom? Now, you gotta wonder what's going through their minds sometimes when they draw these pictures. I mean, it could be a horrible picture. I love the pictures where your mom's got circles for arms and she's got like four fingers on this hand and three fingers on this hand and your hair's standing straight up. And where do they want you to put this masterpiece? On the fridge, right? They want everybody to see it and display it so proudly. And you moms are so gracious because you accept something like that and you put it on the fridge. Why? Because you know that this was a gift given out of your child's love. It wasn't enough just to tell you, I love you. They wanted to show it. They had to display it somehow. And their love drove them to creativity in drawing a picture. Some other things they do is they pick flowers for their mom. How many of you ever picked flowers for your mom? I'm not alone. I used to do that all the time when we were kids. Every spring would come around and we knew that mom liked flowers, so we'd go out and we'd pick this big bouquet of flowers and we'd bring it in to her. And it wasn't until years later I found out that dandelions were not flowers. They're weeds. And never knew that mom didn't appreciate getting weeds because she never once said, get those dandelions out of here. Go get me some roses. No, we demand that she put them in a vase and keep them alive as long as possible. And she would. She'd go fill up a vase of water and those dandelions would sit there. Why? Because she knew that it was a token of her children's love for her. That they were being creative with this love and showing her that they love her. Then we hit our teen years. That creativity lingers for a while longer. You know, you start to fall in love with someone. You look for ways to, again, express that love to them. It's not enough to say, I love you. And so your creativity drives you to prove your love to this person. Maybe you take them to a fancy restaurant and get dressed up. Maybe you buy them something, some jewelry or something. You write love letters and poems to them, pulling every creative gene in your brain together, and you come up with something like, I'd paint myself green, I'd rip out my spleen, I'd give up Mountain Dew to prove that I love you. But then we get married, we get a job, and life moves on, and I think we kind of stray away from this creative love that we used to have. I don't know if it's that we forget or we lose interest, but we stray away from creatively displaying our love. And we need to not let that happen. God's love drove him to creation. It caused him to create. He has so much love to offer that he had to create. And if he's living in us, then that love should be driving us and causing us to create as well. Now you might be sitting there and you might be saying, now wait a minute, I am not a creative person. I've seen other creative people. Some people are very creative. I'm not a creative person. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine because I'm not asking you to do something huge. It doesn't have to be something really big. You know, some of the creative things that you can do could be so incredibly small that you would think that it was insignificant, but it's not. Maybe you could do something small like going to help pack food for starving children in other countries. Spend an hour and a half of your time scooping food into a container to send to poor kids in other countries that don't get meals three times a day. Maybe you know of a family that's going through a difficult time financially. Maybe they lost their job. You could buy them a small bag of groceries, leave it on their doorstep for them. Maybe it's just sending some money to a charity. Maybe it's going through the drive-thru and paying for the person behind you. Talk about a creative love. That person in Florida that day in the Starbucks line, person behind them was impatient, angry, honking the horn. And rather than get mad and yell back, that person said, you know what? I'm going to do something creative. I'm going to show God's love to that person. I'm going to buy their coffee for them this morning. And I don't think they had any idea how big that would become and how far it would spread with the drive-through difference all over the place now. Because one person was willing to creatively show God's love to someone that day. And if you're not a creative person, you should try something, because this is what I did. I told God, I'm not very creative, Lord. I don't know what to do to show other people your love. I'm not creative, but here's what I'm willing to do. And I said, God, I'll give you 1 week. That's horrible of me. I put a time limit on God. I said, God, if you show me this week how I can creatively show your love to someone, I will be willing to do it. And that's all I said. The very next night, my wife and I were shopping at County Market, and it was late at night. I think it was like 11:30. And we're out going out to the van, putting the groceries in the van. The snow was coming down. It was a blizzard. And I heard a vehicle down at the very end of the parking lot that was trying to start. And it was turning over, just not starting. And I thought, well, that person needs a jump. And immediately I started making excuses. It's so late at night. I'm tired. My wife and baby are tired. I got to drive home in a blizzard and still put all these groceries away. And I've got church in the morning. And God reminded me, Josh, didn't you say that if I showed you how, you'd be willing to show my love to someone. I said, yes, Lord, I did say that, didn't I? And so I told Brittany, I said, I think the person down there needs a jump. And she's like, well, let's go help him. And so we drove down there and asked the guy if he needed a jump. I had jumper cables, and he didn't. And he was so grateful and so thankful that we stopped and helped him. Over and over, he said, people just don't help each other these days. They're so caught up with themselves and in such a rush and so busy with themselves that they don't take the time to help other people. And he was so thankful. And you know, that was just the first of many times since then that God has shown me how to use this creative love and to reach out to people around me. And I know that if you are willing, that God will use you as well. God just needs people that are willing to be used by him. Some people use the excuse, well, I'm just not creative. And I wonder, that might be the case, but are you willing to let God be creative through you? That's the beauty of it. We don't have to be creative. God is a creative God, and he can be creative through us. And the truth is, who knows what our love might create? We don't have any idea of the possibilities that our creativeness could produce. It could end up producing something beyond our wildest dreams. What if that time that you reached out to someone in love to show them God's love, what if that ended up framing the most important friendship that you would have for the rest of your life? Young people, what if that was the time that you met your spouse? What if it birthed a new ministry? And 10 years from now, you're running a ministry full-time, serving the Lord because of that time. The best thing ever, what if it brought a soul into the kingdom of God? The truth is, we don't know the potential that this love could create. And we never will know unless we try to be creative. So the love factor. What difference does love make? Well, the first area that we see love making a difference is in the area of creation. True love creates when there's nothing there. And so I ask you, what is God's love trying to create through you today? Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? First of all, I want to give the opportunity. Maybe you're sitting here and for the first time today, you heard about creation and the whole reason why God created. Maybe you never heard before that God created you special. More important than anything else that he'd created. That he created you with the purpose and with the intention of spending eternity with you. Maybe you never heard that before. And maybe you've never responded to that love. I want you to know today that God did create you out of love. He created you and designed you with the very sole purpose of being able to love you and have a relationship with you your whole life, this life and the next. He wants to spend eternity with you. But there's a problem. We've sinned. We've broken God's laws and separated ourselves from him. But I want you to know that God's love reaches so deep that he already solved the problem. He already took care of the problem by coming to earth and dying on the cross for us. And it doesn't do any good that God created you out of love. It doesn't do any good that he died for you unless you respond to him, unless you respond to his love. And if you're sitting here this morning and these words are really striking home to your heart, and you'd say, you know what? I'd like to respond to God's love. I'd like to find forgiveness for my sins. And I would like God to come and live in my life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand up and then down? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up front. I just want to pray for you. And Christians, I ask you, what are you doing with this creative love that God has given you? Is it just sitting there stagnant? Or are you looking for ways to creatively show God's love to the people around you? God wants to change this world, but he does it through us, and he needs people that are willing. And I wonder if you're sitting here this morning, if you would just make a commitment to God and say, Lord, if you show me how I can creatively show your love to someone, I promise that I'm willing to do that. If you made that commitment, can I see your hand? Just up and then down. Amen. God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the love that drove you to creation, that you created us so special and unique and designed us after yourself so that we could spend eternity with you. You want to be our friend every day and live with you for eternity. And God, we thank you for that love. And Lord, we realize that with you living in our hearts, you still want to create. You haven't stopped being a creative God, but that you want to build relationships and friendships and change people's lives through us. Lord, forgive us for not being willing to be your hands and feet every single day. Lord, I just thank you for those who raise their hands. And God, I pray that you would answer their prayer today, that you would show them ways, Lord, that you would just be creative through them, that they could reach out to the people around them. God, our world desperately needs a touch from you. We desperately need you to work in our country. And Lord, I think that you want to do that through us by working through your people and filling your Christians with your love. We just ask for more of your love today and more of your creativeness. In Jesus' name, amen.